welcome to this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from InScreen Media joins me in what has been quite the week, shall we say, right, Colin?
It sure has. Boy, I there was a couple of pieces that I had planned to write this week, and I just didn't get to them, Will, because there was so much happening. It's pretty amazing. Yesterday I wrote about CISO, and I hadn't expected that to happen quite so quickly, but we're certainly not going to talk about that today. You also wrote about a few things that happened this week.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week. As you said, NBC announcing they're closing down CISO, their SVOD comedy service. CBS announced plans to take All Access International and did the deal with DirecTV Now. Netflix made its first acquisition. Facebook finally took the wraps off what they're calling Watch, which is their video initiative. FX launched a new SVOD service called FX Plus. There was a bunch of M&A activity among video ad tech providers this week. So it just kept on coming, but all of that wasn't even the biggest news of the week.
It sure wasn't. And the biggest news, of course, is, for us at least, was the Disney announcement. And I think that's what we're going to spend our time on this morning. So why don't you kick us off and tell us, what did Disney announce? And give us the lowdown.
Well, I'm sure our listeners fully well know what Disney announced this week because it got incredibly broad coverage. But just to recap, the three pieces were the plan to launch its own entertainment-focused SVOD service, in turn closing down the Netflix deal when it expires in 2019. That new SVOD service will include Disney and Pixar content, but not Marvel or Lucasfilm or Star Wars, any of that content, at least not at launch. Second piece, a plan to launch an ESPN over-the-top service, although none of the games and other marquee content that we currently see on ESPN is going to be on that OTT service. And then the last piece was the decision to spend almost $1.6 billion to buy another 42% of BAMTech and basically take control of that business by owning 75%. So those three things are in and of themselves, each one of them pretty big pieces of news. But what I wanted to get started with today, Colin, was really focusing on this entertainment SVOD service that is really going to, I think, kind of take the place of both the core of the Netflix deal and also essentially replace what Disney's traditional business model of licensing its hit movies into what's known as the pay one window to premium cable networks like HBO, Showtime, and Stars. Basically going to take that that business model's place. So pretty big strategic shift for Disney. You know, my assessment, Colin, was that if you put this latest news into context, and context means actually rewinding the clock all the way back to 2011 to sort of understand how Disney got to the point that it got to this week. To me, it seems pretty clear that Disney made a very big mistake, a very big strategic error back in 2012 when it signed its deal with Netflix, distributing these hit movies to Netflix. Again, Netflix sort of taking the place of the pay one window that had always been occupied by the premium TV providers for Hollywood film studios. And so that deal meant that when the Disney Stars deal expired in 2016, that the Disney movies would start rotating into Netflix, which is in fact what has happened. But here we are just basically one short year since those movies from Disney rotated into Netflix, that Disney announced that they're going to move away from that deal when it expires in 2019 and instead launch their own service. And I think it really kind of underscores how Netflix got its hands tied to Netflix back in 2012, because it was very eager to get the above market fees that Netflix was offering for its movies in the short term, rather than really focusing on retaining flexibility in the long term. And so as a result, Netflix has been able, first of all, Netflix stock jumped by like 14 or 15% the day that that Disney deal was announced back in December 2012, of course, it's done nothing but continue to increase since then. The deal certainly generated incremental high margin income for Disney while it's been up and running. But when you sort of take a step back and realize, like, was that incremental income in the short term really worth it to Disney relative to what they gave up strategically? I think the answer is a resounding no, because Disney now finds itself in a position where they're not even going to be able to get this entertainment SVOD service up and running until 2019. Other companies have been innovating and grabbing share of market since over the last 5+ years. We think about companies like not only Netflix, but what Amazon has done and what Hulu has done and what HBO has done and CBS All Access and YouTube, now Facebook. The list goes on and on. We can only imagine how much more competitive the landscape is going to be 2 years from now when Disney finally gets around to being able to launch its entertainment SVOD service. They're basically going to be starting that service from scratch. So at that point, Netflix could have upward of 150 million global subscribers. Disney's going to start with zero at that point. So Facebook, who knows what relationships they'll have by then. Amazon will be way down the video curve by that point. So Disney's going to be facing some pretty stiff competition and coming in very late to the game. And it all sort of ties back to me of this emphasis that Disney and so many other content providers put on taking those short-term licensing fees from Netflix, from Amazon, from Hulu, from others, because they wanted that money so badly. It was so incremental to their short-term earnings. But in the process, they sort of lost sight of strategically wanting to maintain control and flexibility so that they could do their own thing. And perfect example of this to me, Colin, is that just a couple of weeks ago, AMC, the cable network AMC, announced that it was launching a new SVOD service with Comcast called AMC Premier. But because AMC had done the same thing that Disney did, which is basically license its crown jewels, namely all the back seasons of The Walking Dead, by far its biggest show, plus Mad Men and Breaking Bad, which were actually Lionsgate properties, but were on AMC. They got licensed also to Netflix. This AMC Premier service starts without really the biggest hits that AMC has ever had, because they lost control of those, because again, they wanted those short-term dollars from Netflix. So we see these examples throughout the industry, and I think it's really coming home to roost for these companies, and it's going to make Disney's likelihood of success when it launches finally in 2019, those odds much longer. Obviously, their content is still the gold standard, but who knows what's going to be going on by 2019. And this is a big deal. And just to kind of get a sense of investors' nervousness over this whole thing, just in the last 2 days, and granted, today's a down day in the market, but Disney's lost something like $10 billion already, or $9 billion, I should say, a little over $9 billion. In stock market value just in the last couple of days. I think investors are right to be worried that Disney is going to be playing a big game of catch up come a couple of years from now. What's your take?
Yeah, I think I totally agree with pretty much everything you said, Will. There's no question that Netflix definitely got the better end of the deal with Disney. Although, of course, we have no idea how much they paid for those movies. What it has done is it's allowed Netflix to really solidify its kids' view, its kids' service in the households of those families that have it. And they basically have free rein for pretty much the next year to 18 months to continue to solidify that. And if they keep growing at the rate that they're growing, goodness, they could be in 65 million homes in the US by 2019, and maybe even north of that if they can keep it up. So I think Disney shot itself doubly in the foot, because it wasn't just that they removed the ability for themselves to do their service. They actually helped Netflix establish its own view of the kids' world. And that, will make no mistake, that's a direct competitor to what Disney is doing. Now, I do think that Disney's content is the gold standard, as you say. And I think that it will still, provided this is managed well, will still be an essential service for any family that has small children, or at least a very competitive service with any other service that they might consider. Because, you know, they just can't get that content anywhere else. The other thing is, Disney, where they have had freedom, have actually started to do something. So, for example, they launched Disney Family in the UK a couple of years ago. They haven't actually said how that's doing, although they will. They have adjusted that service quite a lot. When it launched as a multimedia experience. There was a lot of talking book stuff and as well as movies and shows. And they've really adjusted that to focus it more along video and some of the gaming rather than the interactive stuff, which wasn't doing as well. And that goes for £9.99 in the UK, about $13 a month. So they're getting experience. I assume that they will continue to fine-tune and learn from that platform in the UK. So I have no doubt when they do launch that they won't make sort of fairly basic mistakes like valuing it wrongly and putting it up at the wrong price or coming up with silly terms that people just won't agree to, like asking people to sign up for a year.
Let's stop, Colin. We might just stop for a second on price, because that seems like a pretty big decision right there, doesn't it? And again, we sort of think about the competitive environment. Netflix at $10, maybe they've raised it by a buck or two at that point. Maybe they're $12 by 2019. We know Amazon continuing to include video within the Prime service, so that makes things even more competitive. We take an example like HBO Now, which has stayed at basically $15 a month, kind of skimming the market, right? They really have not come anywhere close to getting the number of subscribers incrementally that Netflix has gained since HBO Now has been in the market. So I guess I'm saying I could see Disney coming in and saying, hey, you know, we think we're worth $15 a month, just to pick a number, above what Netflix is. And this ending up being mostly like a skimming type of product rather than really getting a whole bunch of subscribers. I could certainly see that occurring. How about you?
Well, yeah, what we do know for sure, and Iger stated this pretty clearly, is that they are going to continue to balance their distribution outlets. And one assumes that unless there's a complete collapse in the pay TV market, that they'll still have close to 100 million customers who get Disney content through their Disney channels on their pay TV provider. So they will continue to have to balance that distribution mechanism against this service. So yeah, you bet it's going to be conflicted, and there will be that will tie their hands somewhat as well. And I'll be honest with you, Will, I sit here puzzling a little bit over how they're going to create the value in this service outside of the movies, which, you know, let's be honest, they're valuable on their own, I suppose. But are they worth $15 when you get pretty much nothing else? Now, Disney says it's going to create original content for this channel, I guess, in the similar way that CBS is starting to do for its CBS All Access, to create value here outside of the pay TV world. I suppose in the hope that they can get people who are paying for Disney content through pay TV to also pay through for this service. But boy, you're absolutely right. The competitive environment is going to get more ferocious by 2019, not less.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. I had a thought on competition, but go ahead. Please finish your thought.
Well, that's actually where I was going as well. I mean, I see in the market already several kid products. We mentioned Netflix, and there's Noggin also from Viacom is there, and others. And kids' content is very different to other types of content. Well, kids will watch the same thing again and again and again, and it's much more evergreen than other content types. So, you know, I got a feeling that this is going to be a really difficult. If they price it wrong, they're just not going to get pickup. Like, I think HBO is just not getting the pickup that it would get if it priced it at what I think is probably a better price, which is down where Netflix is.
Yeah, so that's the point that I was going to pick up, Colin, which is that what's happened over the last several years in kids' content is been pretty amazing to behold. There has been so much investment in kids' programming by everyone from Amazon to Hulu to Netflix to traditional players. The list goes on and on and on that, like, in my mind, yes, Disney is still the gold standard. But to your point, for kids, yes, they know the Disney brand, but if there's a lot of other good stuff that's out there already or they've gotten hooked on over the next couple of years before the Disney SVOD service even gets up and running, or the price isn't right. I mean, just a list of variables go on and on and on that I guess where I come out is that I think this entertainment SVOD service from Disney is far from a layup. I don't think anything can be guaranteed about how that service is going to do. The only thing that can be guaranteed is that the income stream that they were getting from Netflix for those movies is going to go away in a couple of years, and Disney's going to be kind of flying on its own and trying to build up this SVOD service.
Yeah, no question. And as I said, between now and then, look, children's content is one area that Netflix is investing in heavily. And as you say, many others are too. They are creating new kids' content, new kids' shows. If those characters that they create become entrenched in people's homes in the same way that SpongeBob SquarePants has in the past, and, you know, there've been many others, Teletubbies, etc. If those characters begin to become like the gold standard for kids' content, then it basically boils down to a competition for that same money. Can Disney dislodge Netflix? And the answer could be no, in the kids category, and that means that they have to price themselves differently strategically if they can't dislodge Netflix, and that means they cannot charge as much because they, you know, it's competition for the same dollars. And it's a very, very difficult position they find themselves in. 2 years is a long time to sit on the sidelines and not have a product in market.
I agree with you. And you know what's so fascinating to me, Colin, is that as I was writing this post the other day on this whole business with the entertainment SVOD service and going back over the history of when Starz had the Disney output deal and they licensed it to Netflix and it caused such a furor, but Netflix used those movies. That was sort of the game-changing content that Netflix got for the first time to put their streaming service on the map. And then Starz said, okay, we're not going to re-up with Disney. Then Starz said, okay, we're not going to re-up our deal with Netflix. And then Disney came in and did the deal with Netflix directly after they had already seen Netflix use the Disney content once to beef up their service via the Starz deal. Disney still came back in and did that deal anyway. And that was in 2012 when there were already so many signposts out there for how OTT was really going to kind of take over the world at some point. Worth remembering that Netflix already had 24 million US streaming subscribers when Disney did the deal with them. So Netflix was already well on its way at that point, and yet Disney still grabbed for that short-term money. And it's just so amazing now to kind of flash forward a few years and be able to look at that deal in its context and really realize how far Disney set itself back by going for the short-term gain.
Yeah, completely agree. But, you know, I do want to mention the ESPN service in the last couple of minutes that we have, Will. This is another oddball service, live streaming of sports, as we know, big deal. So that's an area that they certainly should be in and aggressively pursuing. The ESPN will have an in-market direct-to-consumer product next year. boy, I just don't know who is this is really going to be targeted at. It's leading with content from MLB, from the National Hockey League, from MLS, which are, by the way, partnering, they're partners with MLBAM, which or BAMTech rather, which Disney just bought, always planning on buying a controlling interest in. The problem is that I just don't. It could only be the really big sports fan, I think, that jumps on the ESPN product, because it doesn't have mainstream, it doesn't have National Football League games. You probably won't be able to watch your local game on this service, just like you can't watch your local game on MLB or NHL.com. Who's going to buy this? I suppose only the rabid fans who want everything are going to be considering to buy this. And that's just, it just strikes me as not being a very big market. So, I you know, it could be that Disney is in a tough situation in both of the services they're planning to launch online. What did you think about the ESPN deal?
I agree with you, Colin. I think that only begins to scratch the surface of the problems that are coming down the road with the ESPN OTT service. I also think it's very confusing that it's going to be called, it's going to use the ESPN brand, when we all know, as to your point, we all know what the ESPN brand means on TV. So people thinking, oh, I'm going to sign up for the OTT service, I'm going to get what's already on TV, I don't need to be a part of the multi-channel bundle. Those people are going to end up being really confused. And to your point, how big is the audience for these, you know, kind of incremental coverage of these games? It's relatively limited. And then somewhere, just to kind of project even down the road further, Colin, somewhere down the road in the early 2020s, and I don't know the dates right off the top of my head, but all these deals, NFL, NBA, MLB, all these deals are coming up for renewal at some point. And you know who's just waiting in the wings there to make a bid on all these properties: Facebook, Amazon, and Google. So what ESPN even looks like, what rights they have, let's say, you know, 10 years from now in 2027, I think is completely up for grabs right now. That ESPN franchise could be completely unrecognizable 10 years from now.
I think so. You know, it's kind of sobering. If you think about the transition that we've been through with ESPN and a lot of the reasons why I think ESPN has lost so many viewers, is that you tune to ESPN to catch the results and the highlights of games that you may have missed, and you just don't need to do that anymore. You can just go straight to YouTube, and they're usually there. And, you know, frankly, I think that's a lot of the reason why a lot of the viewership for core properties have just gone away for ESPN. So as you say, it's a radically different world today, and changing even as we speak this week is just a great illustration of how fast it is changing.
Great illustration. And I'll just throw one last thing in, Colin, since you mentioned the idea of catching the clips and the previews and the highlights. I think that's a market that Facebook is going to be coming after hard also, because they are really zeroing in on short form content, snackable, sports, community. This is vital for them. And you could easily see them wanting to make these kinds of deals. Twitter's in the mix on this as well. I completely reinforce what you said. It's a very dynamic environment. And I think we're really seeing Disney getting kind of caught sitting on its hands here with a lot of exposure over the next 5 years or so.
Well, don't count YouTube out. They just launched a new messenger service, which is really a direct messenger service, which will help it, I think, boost sharing directly from the site rather than relying on third parties to do that. So I think YouTube will be a force too. But either way, lots of competition for ESPN going forward. And boy, this is going to make a huge difference to the way we watch sports going forward, I think.
Yeah, very big week for us in the industry, I think, Colin. Some of these moves, whether it's the Disney moves, the Facebook move, other stuff, this is pretty seismic stuff that's going to play out pretty big ways going forward.
It is, and I tell you, it's why I love this business so much.
You and me both. All right. Well, listen, we're just about out of time here. So great chatting as always.
Good to speak with you, Will.
And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. We will see you all again next week.